아멘. 아멘.
Saints, let's read the title of this conference. The front page of the booklet. Let's read together. God's word and God's move. One more time. God's word and God's move. So this session is the second session of the conference. Last night we had the first session. Both last night and this morning we are covering message one, the outline message one. If you were here last night, you will realize that we have been covering the book of Ezekiel. How many of you have read the Old Testament? Raise your hand. Oh, I mean read through the whole Old Testament. So it's not the not too many. So how many doesn't, you know, this is the first time you have heard the book of Ezekiel? Raise your hand. Oh, one or two, okay. So most of you, you have read the book of Ezekiel, or you know the book of Ezekiel. You didn't read the whole thing. But anyway, we are covering Ezekiel. In fact, it's very easy because we are covering the whole conference. We are only covering the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1.
And 3,
right. Chapter 1 and 3. And last night and this morning, we are covering chapter 1. In fact, only 4 verses. Only 4 verses. You know, the Bible is truly wonderful. Every word is precious. It's more precious than gold. So we can read them, and we can, in fact, you can read it and read it again. And every time you read it, it's kind of like a new book. And it's all new. So this morning, we want to read again what we read last night. In Ezekiel chapter 1. It's good. At the end of this booklet, we have all the verses of chapter 1. So this morning, maybe I'll start with the verses. But before the verses, let me just how many just came this morning? Raise your hand. Oh, still a few. Thank you. So last night, we covered the visions. The visions. In fact, it's what we are covering all taken from the winter training. Winter training, we were on the book of Ezekiel, and this coming summer, we will again cover the book of Ezekiel. In message one, our brother shared with us concerning the visions of God, Amen. And also the unveiling of God's purpose and the desire of his heart. Amen. So this was last night. But this morning, we are going one more step further. That is, we are covering the spiritual history. It's in your outline. In fact, the last night's outline and this morning's outline, they are message one and two of the training putting together with the heading of message two in the training. That is, the spiritual history, the normal Christian. Let's read the title together. You have it in your hand. The spiritual history of a normal Christian. The wind, the fire,
fire and electron.
Right. Okay. So this morning, more or less, we are having a history lesson. Some of you, I know you like history. I love history. But some of you, you may hate the history, right? But anyhow, we are here. I'd like to tell you, the spiritual history is very, very interesting. And the Lord used some pictures to show us even our entire spiritual history is all here in these two verses. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And this is the spiritual history of a normal Christian, you know. This morning we were talking that I think most of you are saved, but still there are few you have not received the law. Then only when you receive the law, then you start to have a spiritual history. You know, human history. You know, everybody, we all are in the human history, but in the Bible there is such a thing that is the spiritual history. So every Christian, once you got saved, you started your spiritual history. And the picture here, it unveiled to us our spiritual history. Amen. You know, last night our brother mentioned that God wants all of us to see a vision. This vision is not something physically you see. Neither or something that in your mind you know something. This vision is a spiritual, is a heavenly vision, and this vision was unveiled to a person. It's the name of the book, Ezekiel. So maybe we can read a few verses in the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. Then we can just go from last night and continue on to this morning's message. Let's read together. Verses, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Now, in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth of the month, while I was among the captives by the river Shebar, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Okay, that's good enough. So Ezekiel, you know, he saw the vision by a river Shebar, in the land of Chaldeans. Chaldeans are the Babylonians. We read that. It mentioned it was the 30th year that was Ezekiel. At this time, was 30 years old. But at the same time, he mentioned it was the fifth year of Jehoiakim's captivity. During his captivity, it was the fifth year. In other words, mostly Ezekiel, this prophet, he was also a priest. He was captured with the king and was carried away from the good land Babylon, today's Iraq, you know. We may say he was a refugee, right? He was in a refugee camp. You know, today many are refugees from the Middle East. They have many camps in Turkey. So Ezekiel was there. But while he was there by the river, he saw a vision. On the 30th year, he was 30 years old. When he was 25 years old, he was captured and he was carried there. For 5 years, after 5 years, then suddenly he saw this vision. It's very interesting. He mentioned that this vision was, then the word came to him, Ezekiel the priest. any refugees in the refugee camp, if they were president or something, you know, very high officials, do you think they will say, you know, I'm the president of so and so, such a place, or I'm the, you know, whatever the high official title? No. Even a priest should be serving in the temple. But Ezekiel mentioned that even after 5 years by the river, he was a priest. I think this is the one reason last night our brother mentioned that the vision will show to the one who is one with God, mm-hmm. and his heart is a duplication of God's heart. Amen. And in fact, such a person is a priest. A priest is such a person. A priest is one who lived before God and who served before God. Amen. And well, Ezekiel, even in his captivity, and he was still consider himself a priest. You know, this is very much related to all of us, in fact. You know, he was 30 years old. You know, when the Lord Jesus came out to minister, he was 30 years old. Mm-hmm. 30 years old is the official year or age you can start serving. And Ezekiel was 30 years old, and the vision came to him. And he considered himself, after 5 years captivity, he's still a priest. You know, today all of us, most of us, we are brothers and sisters, you know. Of course, we are here, we all enjoy the law, we love the law, but when we go back to our school, are you still a Christian brother? Are you still a Christian sister? Maybe sometimes we just forgot, you know. We are without friends, we are just one of our friends. Whatever they do, we do. But Ezekiel was not such a one. You know, he was in captivity. He doesn't do all the, you know, the one capture him. He doesn't follow them to do whatever they do. But rather, he still considered himself a priest serving before the Lord. I think this word is quite a striking thing for all of us, you know. We're all on different campuses, different school, but we should still consider ourselves that I'm a child of God.
Amen.
And I'm a brother. And I'm a sister on campus. So that's why I believe this is why the vision came to Ezekiel. Amen. And there was such a view. Okay, let's continue with verse 3 and 4. The word of Jehovah came expressly to preach the son of Buzi in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebah. And the hand of Jehovah was upon him there. And I looked, and there came a strong wind from the north. Okay, let's stop here. The Bible is very... on one hand, it's very simple. On the other hand, it's very profound. Simple in the way that every one of us, we know the wind blows, right? And here, you know, Ezekiel was there, and he looked. Some of you, your first time here, you know, here there's a mountain, there's a valley, you know, there's a lake, you know. We all looked around, right? Today is a nice day, right? Anybody feel there was a cold and the wind was blowing this morning? I believe Ezekiel was there more or less the same. You know, the wind was blowing, right? So what, right? But here is different. When Ezekiel recalled what he saw, he looked and there came a storm wind. Storm wind is a little different from just the wind, right? Storm wind, sometimes I saw pictures of the Weather Channel. You know, they showed a storm came in Florida, right? All the pine trees, they were kind of tilted, almost in lay flat. So Ezekiel saw this wind came. I don't know, what's your realization? Did you think Ezekiel feel the storm wind or not? Maybe he feels, right? Okay, all these are something physical. But the interesting thing is the Bible used the physical things, the visible things, to show something spiritual, something divine, something heavenly. I looked, and there came a strong wind from the north. This short phrase, there's a key word, two key words. The first key word is not storm. It's not wind. The first key word is what? North. North. We are in the camp. Do you know which direction is north or south or east? You know. I believe this side is east. This side is north. You have the booklet, you know. It has a picture of a map of the camp. And it will show you. So we will say, to us, we will say, east, north, west, south, you know, what's the difference? There is a big difference in the Bible. When it says, the wind from the north, wow. If you have Bible, take out your Bible, and we need to read a few verses, and that will bring us to the significance, okay? Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Whoever has found these two verses, please stand up and read to us. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7. Okay, whoever found it, stand up and read to us. For neither from the east nor from the west, and neither from the south, does exaltation come. For God is the judge. He puts this one down and exalts that one. Okay, thank you. In this verse, it mentions something. To us, read it when we read through, you know, it doesn't mean that much. But this verse shows that the exaltation, someone is exalted or someone is put down. It says, it's not from the east. It's not from the east is there. It's not from the west. And it's not from the south. Then suddenly, that's in verse 6. And suddenly in verse 7, it changed. It says, God is the judge. He was talking about directions. Suddenly God comes in. He said, God is the judge. He puts this one down and exalts that one. The word exalts comes in again. It was in verse 6. So it shows, these two verses put in together, it shows that our God is from the north. From the north. And he is the one who exalts. So the exaltation is not from east, it's not from west, it's not from south, it's from God, from the north. So this verse shows us the wind, the storm wind comes from north, means comes from God. Okay? And there's another verse is very significant. That is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. Whoever finds it can stand up and read that also to us. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. Okay, read it aloud to us.
It says, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne and I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the north.
Right, okay. Again, here in this verse, the word north is mentioned, you know. Isaiah 14, in fact, it was written speaking about a king. But at the same time, this portion of the word speaks concerning Satan. You know, in the Bible, there's not much speaking concerning Satan. But, you know, his origin, what happened, you know, we only know that he tempted in the form of a snake and Adam and Eve. But here in this verse, it shows that God did not create Satan, but Satan eventually, he rebelled against God. And you know, when he was created, he was perfect and he was full of wisdom. But one day, Satan, in his heart, he said something. And it was recorded here. And in this verse, chapter 14, verse 13, but you said in your heart. What Satan said in his heart, and God knows it. And it's written, it's recorded. It says, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Satan wants to ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God. Stars of God referred to, at that time, and all the angels, stars of God. I will exalt my throne. Satan, he had a throne. He had a throne. I will exalt my throne. I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will exalt my throne. And I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the uttermost parts of the north. That means where God is, you know. He will sit there, you know. Then in verse 14 mentioned, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High, that is God. Satan, in his heart, he said all this, and it was recorded. But the whole point, come back, is the matter of the north. North is where God is. Amen. North is the place, the highest place. So when we said the wind from the north, that means the wind was from God. You know, all this picture was shown to Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel at that time, I don't think he was very high, burning or because he was one of the captives. He may be a little low, but he still stands on his ground, his position, his whatever the Lord has committed to him. So God came in by the picture of a storm wind. And this wind from the north shows that it is from God, you know. Okay, it comes back to the spiritual history of a normal Christian. So with all of us, in fact, when you got saved, you know, in your life, something like a wind was blowing. In the New Testament, this matter of the wind also mentioned in the New Testament. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus and tried to get some teaching, this is in John 3, and he mentioned to the Lord, the teacher, you know, you're a teacher. And but the Lord was not very direct with him. And he said, you need to be born again. Then he could not understand. How can he, an old man, be born again, you know? So he mentioned this to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, you know, the wind blows, where, the the wind blows wherever it wills, and you cannot see it. So it's everyone, but you can realize, you know, when you see the leaves, you know, moving, right? You realize the wind was blowing. So a person born again is like a the wind blew on this person, and something happened to him. You know, I believe Nicodemus at that time, through this conversation, he was saved. In other words, the wind was used compared to a person that became a believer. In other words, in every one of us, when we got saved, the wind was blowing, whether you realize or not. You know, Nicodemus, why he's an old man, why he came to the Lord Jesus in the night? Something bothered him. With all of us, you know, we all experience this. So this shows us that our spiritual history, our spiritual experience starts with what God arranged something in our environment, caused us to feel dissatisfied, uncomfortable, or concerned. I think many of you sitting here, maybe the wind was blowing before you came. How many feel this way? Raise your hand. Or, you know, you didn't want to come, but something happened, you came. Raise your hand. But nobody? That'll be very interesting. Okay, you don't want to raise your hand, right? You know, there are many testimonies, you know, in the, there's a full-time training in Anaheim. So many of them, they didn't want to come to the full-time training, but eventually they end up there. Some of you high schoolers, graduates, you know, you are going to college, you feel somewhat uncertain. Some of the serving ones may be, you know, senior in the colleges, and I know a sister, in his high school years, he never thought about going to full-time training, but after college years, suddenly she wants to go to full-time training. So this shows that, you know, in all of us, every one of us, that there's a north wind blowing. Amen. Even in this meeting, I think the north wind is blowing. Amen. Because God wants to come to you. Okay, maybe we can read underneath this outline, the Roman numeral 3, maybe follow the outline. It's in B, okay? It's in B. But let's read A first. Let's read A together. In Ezekiel 1:4. The wind is a sign of the blowing of the Holy Spirit upon us to take care of us, causing us to have God's life. So the wind is related to the blowing of the Holy Spirit, and he wants to care for us, and he wants to give us God's life. And the verse is in John 20:22. It mentions after the Lord's resurrection, he was meeting with the disciples, and he said something to them, peace be to you. The Father sent me, I also sent you. And again, peace to you. Then he breathed into them. I don't think he was breathing this way. I believe he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe he was, that's a very small wind blowing, right? But even that, all the disciples sitting there, they received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the wind is related to life also. During the day of Pentecost is also, you know, on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound from heaven, and while these disciples were sitting together, and there was a violent wind, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. So it shows, you know, with the disciples on the day of the Lord's resurrection, they received the Holy Spirit and they got regenerated. on the day of Pentecost, the wind was blowing, but that blowing was big wind. Eventually, 3,000 people got saved. So the wind is very much related in our environment. Something happened, and God wants to care for us. And God wants us to receive more life. So even this morning, we're sitting here, God wants to give us more life. So this is the picture of the wind, okay? Okay, let's read small one together. Our spiritual experiences always begin with a spiritual storm. This storm wind is God himself blowing upon us to bring a storm into our life, into our church, into our work, causing us to be dissatisfied and concerned about our spiritual condition and to have a turn in our spiritual life. You know, many things, small things, big things, happen in our daily living. Many times you will realize there was a little wind and there was God's visitation, God's caring for us. Okay, let's read verse small two together. Throughout all generations, the Spirit of God has blown like a mighty wind to cause people to repent of their sin, to believe in the Lord Jesus for their regeneration, to give up the world in order to follow the Lord, and to be desperate in heart and burning in spirit. Right. So here it shows that in many unbelievers, the Lord will arrange all the situations and cause them to be dissatisfied, and they become concerned. Quite often, in fact, they don't know. They just feel uneasy. And eventually, they may be coming to a gathering of the brothers and sisters and maybe to a gospel meeting, and eventually they receive the Lord. There are many such cases. I know some just came as a, you know, they thought it was a La Feast, a gathering, you know, they came, and they didn't know, you know, what kind of gathering is this. They feel the people are friendly, so they came and they sat down and they listened, they sing a hymn, and suddenly they start crying. They receive the Lord. There are many such cases. It shows that God's wind is his coming to us.
Amen.
You know, coming to us, to care for us, to give life to us,
Amen.
To reach out to us. Okay, so this is the picture of the wind. I believe when Ezekiel, he was by the river and he saw the wind and he feel it. I don't believe the wind just kind of like blowing like, you know, a fan, an electrical fan blowing like that. I don't believe so. I believe it was a storm, you know, very strong, and it was coming to him. But okay, the following picture is very interesting. Suddenly, when the wind blows, when it comes, there was a cloud, you know. Anybody notice there was outside was clouds or no? Today, do we have clouds?
Yes.
No? Yes?
Yes.
There are some clouds, okay? There are some big clouds. Here it mentioned Ezekiel saw the cloud, okay? Okay, let's read B together. The cloud here in Ezekiel 1:4 is a figure of God as the Spirit, abiding with his people and covering them in order to care for them and show favor to them. So here, cloud is in the Old Testament, and it's also in the New Testament. The cloud, I think we all, if you read the Old Testament, if you are read Genesis and you reach Exodus, and you will see there was cloud there. When the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, you know, that's Exodus means walk out. They walk out of Egypt, and there were led by the clouds, right? The clouds during the day and the fire at the night. If you see the verses behind B, it was Exodus chapter 14, verse 20. In that verse, it mentioned eventually, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Egyptians suddenly, including Pharaoh, realized all these are slaves, are servants. Once they left, they don't have servants, and they have to do everything themselves. So they changed their mind. Pharaoh led all his army to chase these children of Israel, try to bring them back. But the pillar of cloud was leading them, was covering them. So there was the picture of the cloud, you know. And they were walking in the wilderness. It's not like today, you have a highway, you know, you just walk on the highway. At that time, there was no roads. So they had to follow the clouds. The clouds was leading them. And I also, if you can picture, during the summertime, if you walk outside or if you are here, you have a very hot sun and it will be burning. It's not easy. But the children of Israel, I believe the clouds was their shade, you know. The clouds over them was shading them from the burning sun. Right. And while the Egyptians, when they came out, did you think they have clouds or no clouds? Huh? No clouds. I don't think there was clouds for them. There was no clouds for them. So they were on the horses. They were trying to chase to capture the children of Israel to bring them back. But there was no clouds to care for them. They were just under the burning sun. But today, with all of us, in our daily living, there are clouds. Amen. When we are following the Lord. Even some situations are difficult, but the clouds are still covering you, okay? And under B, there are, 1 and 2, it shows what the clouds are referring. What is this cloud, okay? Let's read 1 and 2 together. The cloud is nothing other than the brooding God. God comes as the wind, but he stays as the cloud. By staying with us as the cloud, God covers, overshadows us, and broods over us to give us the enjoyment of his presence. In this way, he produces something of himself in our daily life as we sense both his presence and care. Here, it shows that this cloud, in fact, was just God himself. God himself was with the children of Israel, and he was covering them, overshadowing them, overshadowing them as their shades, and broods over them to give the enjoyment of his presence. In Exodus 14:20, I just read the phrase, important, between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the children of Israel, and there was cloud. The cloud was there with darkness. Mm. You ever seen clouds with darkness? Yeah. Yeah. That's dark cloud, right? Dark cloud. The darkness, this cloud, on one hand, is with darkness. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it gave light by night to the children of Israel. So what happened was this cloud, maybe on top, maybe just in between. On one side, it's with darkness. On the other side, it gives light. You ever seen any cloud like that? This cloud, on one side, to the Egyptians, they could not see anything. So what should they do? While they are chasing the children of Israel, they can do nothing. They cannot darkness is over them, it's around them, you know, they can only stand still. But on the other side, with the children of Israel, the cloud was with light. So they see everything. God is caring for us in this way, you know. It's very vivid and very interesting that God's caring for us with his presence. You know, I think the children of Israel, they just feel very ease because, you know, there's darkness on the other side and the light is on their side. I think they're having a good time. they have God's presence, right? He mentioned here that his presence, you know, God's presence became their enjoyment. So today, with us Christians, we are such. When the mighty wind blowing on us, on the other hand, the wind is moving and the cloud is staying. The cloud is staying with us, covering us, and the cloud is God's presence. Gave us enjoyment, and the cloud also, at the same time, is mentioned here, it produces something of God in every one of us. You know, when you are a Christian for a period of time, there is something of God in you.
Amen.
Even unbelievers, they may not realize, they will feel you are different. And this difference is because every time when we are gathering together, and there's a cloud here,
Amen.
And God works something into every one of us.
Amen.
Make us his people.
Amen.
Makes us realize we are different because we have the presence of God.
Amen.
God is with us, and we are his people, and he is our God.
Amen.
So this picture of cloud is very, very precious,
Amen.
You know. And this cloud is leading us. So if you have any question about your future, your problems, situations, just come to the meetings.
Amen.
Because this cloud is with God's people.
Amen.
And it's leading God's people.
Amen.
So as long as we have the cloud, we have God's presence, we have God's leading.
Amen.
And we have God's protection.
Amen.
And we have God's favor.
Amen.
God favor us. Therefore, he gave us the wind and gave us his presence. So these pictures are very, very precious. In the New Testament, in fact, Apostle Paul quoted this situation. He said, all the children of Israel, they were under the cloud. They were under the cloud. And they were baptized in the cloud unto Moses. Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus. So we were baptized in the cloud. Means in the spirit, in Christ. So we are people of clouds. And eventually we became clouds, right? Because in Hebrews he mentioned we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So God is really working himself into every one of us, making all of us a part of the cloud. As his witnesses for his testimony on the earth. Okay, let's continue on to let's read C together. The wind brings in the cloud, and within the cloud is the fire, which signifies God's burning and sanctifying power. Okay, let's finish reading the verses, which is in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4. Let's finish reading let's read the whole verse. And I looked, and there came a storm wind from the north, a great cloud and a fire flashing incessantly. And there was a brightness around it. And from the midst of it, there was something like the sight of electron from the midst of the fire. In the past, when I read this section, I didn't know what's going on. You know, there was a wind, there was a cloud, and there was fire. I just could not figure out. But, you know, the Lord is rich. He, through his ministry, he opens up this word. And this word fits exactly to our experiences. And he shows us This is the experience of a normal Christian. We all should have all these experiences. It's not that the Lord is blowing on one sister, doesn't blow on the other one. No, the Lord is blowing on all of us. Doesn't matter whether you how long you have been saved. And this picture doesn't, it's not, you know, happen once for all. It may be every day is happening. Even maybe right now is happening. While we're sitting here, we feel we are in the cloud. You know, sometimes when you go to the mountain, you know, there was just, you are in the cloud. This morning, we are in the cloud. We are in God's presence.
Amen.
His presence is caring for us. His presence is showing he has favor on you.
Amen.
And he has favor on all of us.
Amen.
So here he mentioned that the wind brings the clouds. And in the cloud, there was fire. There's a verse in the New Testament, in fact, in the Old Testament also, mentioned concerning the fire. Whoever finds Hebrews 12:29, let's read that verse together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. It's a very short verse. Okay, let's read together. For our God is also a consuming fire. One more time. For our God is also a consuming fire. So we see the wind is Holy Spirit. And the cloud is also Holy Spirit. And the fire is God himself. Our God is a consuming fire. Let's read under C, 1 together. The fact that there is fire in the cloud means that when we are covered by the Spirit, we are enlightened by him. So fire brings light. Many of us were here in the summer. We had a campfire, you know. Surrounding the campfire, if there's no fire, it was darkness. But around the campfire, there was a light. So the fire brings light. So with God's presence, there is fire. That means God is here, and God is light. And God will shine upon us. You know, in the church life, there is God's presence. There's a Spirit moving, but at the same time, there's also light. There's also light. Let's turn the page, read 2 together. As we are under his shining, we should confess our need for his burning and pray for him to burn away our pride, wickedness, hatred, self, old nature, disposition, worldliness, our attitudes, goals, aims, motives and intentions. Anybody here feel that at least you have one point better than the other ones? Think about it. Or you don't have anything. You are just worse than any other brothers or sisters. At least you have one point. You are better than the other one. Raise your hand. Nobody raised. Oh, there's a few. Okay. I think within our heart, you know, we have friends and, you know, most of us, you know, we are not very smart. I think only one or few are very smart, you know, right? Most of us, we are just, you know, so-so. But at the same time, we are so-so, but we feel, think about it, you are between you and your friends. Some of you have friends, you realize there are some area that are much better than you. But at the same time, you'll say, at least in this point, I'm better than you. I see people smiling, means, you know, this is your case. At that point, that particular point, you feel you're better than the other ones, let me tell you, you're proud. You're proud. You're proud. And that pride, one day may show up. And that will cause some feeling between you and your friend. You know, your friend will react. Or if you are the one, people is showing their pride, you know, they are showing their pride, and you will feel kind of hurt. I think this is with all of us. We're all the same, you know. That pride needs to be burned away. If that pride is in you, not dealt with, sooner or later it will come out, and it will cause some kind of friction between you and your friend. You know, this is just one thing. The other thing is it mentioned about you need to burn away our pride and burn away our wickedness. Yeah. Wickedness, I was thinking, sometimes we do bad things, right? But sometimes not so bad. When it's bad and very bad, that is wickedness. The wickedness, sometimes once in a while we will do not just bad thing, but sometimes wickedness. You know, I know brothers, they like to play with one another, but sometimes you did too much. You hurt the other one. And that is wickedness. You ever done bad things? How about wickedness?
I hope not.
You hope not? Have you ever done anything?
Wicked?
No. Or with other brothers or sisters or so your siblings? Oh, with your brother, okay. I think the sister is the same. Anybody, you have other sisters in your home, raise your hand. In other words, you are not the only daughter. So they are son. Have you done anything bad to your sister? Or sometimes it's very bad to your sister. And your sister doesn't want to talk to you. And that is wickedness. And that needs to be burned away. Okay, there are many things here, okay? And hatred, you know. Brother, you ever hate anybody?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I think we all hate someone in the past. You know, sometimes we hate the person, then later on we made up and we become friends again. But somehow, inside of you, there was a residual hatred there. And that needs to be burned away. You know, you still feel, I let you go. But one day, just wait. I'll get back to you. That the hatred secretly hidden inside of us. And that needs to be burned away. Only God as a holy fire can burn that away. Right. Nobody else can do that. Yeah. You know, I do too, by the way, brother. I'm like you. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. All of us, we have the same sickness. Right. We have the same sickness. Nobody is better than the other ones. But if we don't know this, and we don't know there's a solution, and we don't know God is fire, it's for our good. When it burns the hatred, the wickedness, the pride away, wow, you feel you're so free. You feel, wow, I'm so happy now. Because I don't need to hold on any kind of hatred. Somebody wrong me, I said, never forgive this person. You know, all these points are very very, very practical. Self.
Yeah.
You know? Did you have a self?
Yeah.
We all have the self. Sometimes, you know, you're with your friend and the things going on and you realize that's just herself. Self, just you. Doesn't matter what you do, you try to improve, you try to show the best front, and the people realize that's yourself. Mm-hmm. That's yourself. That's you. And all of us, we have a kind of old nature within us. You know, old nature. The nature is deep inside of you. Nature means something deep. It's not just that you did something outwardly. You know, brothers and sisters are the same. When your parents call you, a lot of you don't respond. You don't respond. You heard it, but you're quiet. You're quiet. That is your nature. That is your nature. That is my nature. It's the same. And disposition. All of us, we have a disposition. You have your disposition, and he has his disposition. And any one of you have an annoying brother or annoying sister. Yeah. Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. You know what's that? Anyone admit you are an annoying brother. You are an annoying sister, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. You know what's that? Remember this word. That's your disposition. Disposition. You may say, you may tell your brother and tell your sister, I will never do it again. Did it happen? Did it happen later? It happened again. Why? Because that is your disposition. And this needs to be burned away. Burned away. Okay, and the list goes on, right? There's a worldliness. Then our attitudes. Worldliness. Recently, a brother told me a sister's, before she got saved, she was shaved. Her hair was shaved off, half. That was, I guess, during that period of time, it was hot. It was fashion. Of course, today's fashion may be different. But, you know, of course, brothers has, brothers' hairstyle now, right? In a certain way. All these are worldliness. Who can change you? Can your parents change you? No. Worldliness. What should God do? God will burn it. God will burn it. Worldliness and our attitude. Anybody didn't give your parents an attitude? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a few. Wow. That's very good. I think most of the brothers and sisters, you all gave your parents attitude. One day I saw the tie. The brand is attitude. So I guess that was a good name brand. And many people like to have attitude, right? And we all have attitude. All this need to be burned. Okay, then the other thing, goals, aims, motives, and intentions. All this. Okay, let's read three together. Fire symbolizes burning power for purging, purifying, sanctifying, and motivating in God's move. We all need to be transformed by being burned. This is my prayer. Lord, I like to burn today instead of that day. The Bible says, one day fire will try everyone. If it's wood, hay, stubble, it will be burned away. If it's gold, silver, precious stone, it will remain. So today, it's a good day to have a fire, you know, to burn away anything should be burned. Do you have anything should be burned? You like to be burned today or that day?
Today.
We need to have this such a prayer. How about let's all say, Lord, I like to be burned today. Let's say it together. Lord, I like to be burned today. Instead of that day. Instead of that day. You know, today, while the Lord still keeping us here, it's a good to pray such a prayer. And the Lord can burn away anything should be burned. In fact, only God himself is gold and silver can remain, can stand the fire. So today, it's good that, you know, that we open to the Lord, let the Lord work in us. Okay, let's read D together. The issue of the blowing of the wind, the covering of the cloud, and the burning of the fire is the glowing electron, the radiant expression of the redeeming God. So remember, it was firstly the wind, then it was the cloud, and there was fire. So let's say together, wind, cloud, fire. One more time. Wind, cloud, fire. At the end, there's something called electron. Okay? It explains under D1. Let's read together. As the electron, which is an alloy of gold, signifying the nature of God, and silver signifying redemption. The Lord Jesus is the one who has redeemed us and who is everything to us. So electron people in the beginning could not understand this word in the, you know, in the original language. But eventually, Darby mentioned that, you know, he had the realization that this electron is an alloy. An alloy is more than one metal. So here it signified gold and silver. It became electron. And gold in the Bible, it signifies God's divine nature. You know, the whole New Jerusalem, the street was gold. And in God's dwelling place, both in the tabernacle and in the temple, there were much gold. You know, that's why when the Babylonian came, they conquered the country, and they destroyed the city, and they took the gold. Even when Roman prince Titus, in AD 70, came, because of the rebellion of the children of Israel, they came, destroyed the city, and they carried gold as their spoil, and they brought back to Rome. So gold is both in the tabernacle, temple, and in the New Jerusalem. Even in the New Testament, when Paul, in 1 Corinthians 3, he mentioned building up the church, it should be with the gold, silver, and precious stones instead of wood, hay, stubble. So gold signifies God's divine nature. And the silver signifies Christ's redemption. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Lord told them that the male need to pay half a shekel silver. And if you remember the story in the Gospels, when the tax collector came to the Lord Jesus, firstly he met Peter, because Peter was there, and asked him, your master, does he pay tax? He said, yes. That tax is called temple tax, to keep the temple, for the maintenance of the temple. So the silver was a kind of redemption, signified. It's called redemptive shekel. So it's related to redemption. So gold and silver became an alloy, signify our God is a redeeming God. At the end of the Bible, it mentioned the throne is the throne of God and and the Lamb. So it shows that our God for eternity will be a redeeming God on the throne.
Amen.
So the electron here shows that after we experience the wind, the cloud, and the fire, there will be electron. Yeah. This God, glorious God, will be expressed. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 4 together. If in our personal spiritual experience we have the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electron, then whenever we gather together, we will be the vision of the electron, having a precious treasure in us that is shining and glowing. So we become electron. In the New Testament, there is such a record in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 24 and 25. It shows that while the Christians are gathering and we sing hymns, we are speaking, and when an unbeliever or an unlearned person is here, they come in, and the secrets of their heart will be manifested, and they will falling on their face, and they will say, they will worship God and declaring, God is in your midst. Amen. That means in our gathering, we became electron, which is the redeeming God, the expression, you know. So this is truly a wonderful picture showing our spiritual history. As a normal Christian, that we can experience all this. How about let's all pray that during this weekend, we all will experience the wind blowing on us.
Amen.
And we all will experience the Lord's presence. You know, the cloud is over us, is directing us, and the fire is burning us,
Amen.
Exposing us, shining on us, and causing us to become His expression for His glory.
Amen.
How about let's all pray two or three, and with the one next to you.